Preparing to record.
Recording.
There we go. Welcome everyone to the weekly Trace call. Remember to sign the contributor agreement if you haven't done so already. The link is on the GitHub readme. And we will go through the normal order of business, pull requests first. And for once, it would be nice if I could remember on my own if this is vocab or interop. It seems like it is vocab today. So we'll start with Trace vocab repo, then Trace interop, pull requests, and then back to Trace vocab and go through the issues there. Before we kind of dive in, we do have at least one new name that Khalid, we've communicated on GitHub. Would you be cool to say hi and just introduce yourself?
Yeah, for sure. My name's Khalid. I am a software developer intern at Mavenet, and it's nice to be working with all of you.
Excellent. So that explains it. Cool. Welcome on board. We are very happy to have you, and thanks for your excellent contributions on the repo.
Thank you.
One more point before we dive in. If anyone has any special announcements, special focus areas of focus that you would want to point out first, please speak up and we can take a quick detour.
I'll detour us briefly. Chris is actually gone this week, so kudos to him for actually leaving like the front of his computer. Ori and I have been talking for a little while about doing like a walkthrough of what are best practices and really start to finish like JSON LD for vocabularies, because there are kind of some specific things there. I think unless Ori's going to be out of office, we should try to do that during the Trace call next week. And if so, because that way I think most people will be out of vacation time and here and stuff like that. I just wanted to make sure like we had as many people as possible around for that. Any quick feedback, anyone from either the Transmute, Mavenet, Ted, anyone going to be out next week or anything like that, that we should think about before we schedule anything like that? I'm going to take silences, like I can send an email to the list that we're going to do that. So,
yeah. Perfect. Let's say silence is positive.
Great. All right. I'll send an email to the list to that effect. So, cool. That was the only detour I think I have. Aside from, Ori, since you and I spent last week having our brains full of things, anything you want to note from IETF that's relevant to this group, just while we're here as a group or anything?
I think that there is continued interest in the HOSI and COSI representations for verifiable credentials. So if you're not currently capable of issuing credentials in those formats, you can consider whether or not you want to issue credentials in those formats. We have some tests that cover some of that, and I suspect HOSI and COSI formatted verifiable credentials will change, so I also understand if you don't want to implement them just yet because you know they're going to change. That's really all I have to say about that.
Yeah, and I will note that that seemed to be a running theme that I was encountering in a lot of different contexts, but especially on things related to supply chain and IETF. So yeah, just be aware if you're working on stuff that's issuing and verifying credentials, you know, be for sure thinking about the future, right? And especially binary type stuff as we look at some volumes of data. So, and I think that's probably the last detour, unless anyone else has anything.
That's great. Cool. Let's carry on. So switching our attention to the traceability vocab pull requests. And we have the first one on the list is 503, which is from Chris. And I understood he was not on the call today.
I think that was me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, Russell?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I apologize. Yes, thank you.
No problem. The big issue last time was that I wasn't clear enough on this to provide a good explanation of why it was needed. Thank you, Mike, for elaborating on that. The only change is, as requested, how the value with multiple possible types is handled.
Yeah, and I queued up because I could talk to this a little bit. Cause
yes, please do, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. And Ted, I think the initial read that I think both Ted and everyone else had, and it was my initial read when presented with this by a customer, was that why, right? And what it actually boils down to is that we have a couple of customers and we're able to test throwing some JSON-y kind of data their way just to see how they were able to adjust it. They wanted a very set way to say that here is this programmatic way to make a labeled, thing, with some external reference number that they handle separately in their system, right? It's totally blind to anything going on with the trace interrupt stuff. That then correlates that label in their system with some external value. And the, kind of the easy example to think of is where you have a customer that needs to reference, for instance, an external database identifier, in some third party system that there is a prearranged rule set between the two parties. Yep, I could send you this data and you know what to do with it and your system knows how to programmatically interpret something. You got a credential of this type and you then have this business logic that steps in and says, I've got a rule for this name that I, have in there. And then based on that, I'm going to go step down some other business logic somewhere. And so rather than just saying, oh yeah, just make a claim and call it whatever you want, that made people very, very nervous, right? Just exploiting the actual default behavior of VCs. They actually wanted some names attached to it and also wanted a type assigned to a defined type for this kind of a key pair effectively, key value pair so that they could intercept it and handle it appropriately. That may or may not have triggered some questions from folks in the group. Not sure.
So I can elaborate on my question from last week. And I guess I basically had that reaction. Yeah. And it's kind of your customer's reaction in reverse.
Yes, exactly.
When I see the term claim this way, I haven't been around the credential community from the beginning, but I heard the history. And it used to be called claims. And then because there was some, that's just a term that's, I don't know. It's
a loaded term. Yeah.
It's exactly. A loaded term. That's right. So it turned out to be called credentials instead, but it's really a credential is claims. I think this might explode also outside of this community. When the largest CCG kind of, I'm seeing ghosts, but it does worry me.
Yeah. Well, and a totally alternate path. And I just used the customer's language that they request because they effectively were going after third party, a very programmatic way of referencing third party literal claims. Like here's an ID to go look up this additional data that'll never make its way over here. Right. I think the terminology itself.
Terminology wise, It would be easy just to rename this third-party claim, so it's less ambiguous.
I would that or external value, right, or something like that. Right. So, you know, or key pair credential, right, something like that, key value pair. And it's just a very verbose way of basically saying there's a key value pair that we explicitly know is going to reference some external system. That's the goal, right? So we could bike shed the terminology however we want.
Cool.
But that's Ted, what they are actually after.
Ted, please.
I think this needs to be an issue before it becomes a PR. I don't think that it's fleshed out nearly enough to understanding either what these end users want or how the best way to handle that is. I mean, first, we really do have to be clear on what they need and how it is not addressed by what we've already got. And then we can hammer on what's the best way to deliver that thing that we don't already have. Because it's been discussed a bit and apparently not fully understood, I also want to talk about how claims became credentials. Verifiable claims to the uninitiated listener and also to an awful lot of initiated listeners suggests that the statement, i.e. the claim, itself is verifiable so that you can confirm the factual nature of what is being stated. And that is not what's going on. With verifiable credentials, what is verifiable is that the issuer said these things, made these claims. There's nothing about their validity, their accuracy, anything like that. It's only that Joe said that Frank is in the park. That's it. Frank may not be in the park. There may not be a park at all. Frank may not exist, but we know that Joe said that thing. That's it. And that being the case, I'm not sure that this customer wish, this end user wish, is satisfiable either. That's it for now.
Yeah. Thanks, Ted. I think, Ori, are you still queued?
Yeah. I mean, I think we have some building blocks, which we're extending here. And I think the challenge that I have with this pull request is it's reinventing the building blocks that we're already using. So from a data modeling perspective, if we say, you know, JSON-LD and semantic data modeling is a requirement, we have a spec that defines a syntax for that. And this is sort of using that existing syntax again to define that existing syntax. So it seems to miss the point of verifiable credentials or JSON-LD generally. I think that if the customer's request is, I want a way to have key value pairs that are unique or in some structured format, good news is that JSON-LD handles that really, really well. And I don't know that you necessarily need to do anything much more in order to accomplish that. Like the type, you know, the question is, you're trying to define a key value pair. Are you trying to define a key value pair that's just a property or an RDF class? Which one are you trying to define? And I think that's where we should sort of start, because that's the language that JSON-LD uses to define key value pairs. So I think I agree that we should have a conversation on the issues about it. It's possible that maybe some basic education around JSON-LD would also help unblock this stuff. I'm happy to do that. I want to understand why it is that we're reinventing JSON-LD in a vocabulary.
It's more as a way of an interface to people that cannot, will not, nor have no desire to work with JSON-LD. Want to treat this stuff just as JSON and want a programmatic way to say, hey, here's this identifier I'm going to give you, and here's a foreign key or some other value that you can use to go look that up in that thing. That's it. And it could literally just be a key value pair. Like, if we want to just call third party or external reference or external, like I said, like pretty flexible on the naming here, but it's going to be a market reality that we're going to see.
So I'm cute to respond to that.
Please go.
We are working on this vocabulary. This is a JSON-LD vocabulary. If there's disagreement now around whether or not that's what we're working on together, I think we should just pause and have a longer conversation around that, because there are ways to make JSON-LD sort of friendlier to folks, but there has to be some sort of shared agreement around the value of a vocabulary. And in the context of the work item as it's been developed so far, what you just said, Mike, is super troubling. Like, I don't really know how to effectively support folks who want to use a JSON-LD vocabulary but don't want to know what JSON-LD is.
Ben, you got tuned?
Yeah, you know, for me, my kind of argument or question behind this is, you know, if the customer wants to have some key value lookup or some way to do that, wouldn't, you know, if they just have some JSON interface, you know, that they want to program or that they want to do, you know, could they do that outside of vocabulary? You know, is that just a script or a program that they write that does this? Is this really something that would be committed to trace vocab, or could you say, you know, here's the script or here's this interface, feel free to use it outside of this?
Maybe yes, maybe no, but I don't think so. And for one very good reason, right? If you think about putting a traceable presentation over, if we expect that everyone will have all of their data for all systems related to all things related to a supply chain or regulatory bodies, et cetera, in this vocab and described in this vocab, cool. Then I think then we don't have a problem and we can kill this PR, right? But I know realistically there will be an onboard time and a step-by-step type process. And I'll give you a really good example, which is organic certification in the agriculture side. There are folks that will want to say, look, I've done the bare minimum to issue a VC that literally, like, I might not even do it right. Like, I'm doing this real bare minimum, you know, almost hard coding it to say, this number identifying the organic cert that you can come look up in our system. Has such and such name attached to it and hands that to a third party who then wraps it in a traceable presentation, right? And they're trusted. There's an agreement, a business logic agreement between these people and a contractual agreement between these orgs. That's the kind of situation we're going to increasingly run into as we start interfacing this stuff with the rest of the world, right? And that's the issue, is how do we then make it very, as simple as possible to just when needed, say, yep, I've got this ID, it's such and such certificate number or such and such foreign key, that exists in an external system. But I know enough about verifiable credentials to say, yeah, I want to sign that piece of data, right? But that's it. I might not even know any more than that, right? And I understand that, sure, it's not ideal, it's not right, it's not perfect, et cetera, but I think it's also practical.
In the queue.
All right. So starting from the base point that what we're building in this work item, in this call, is a traceability vocabulary. Is there nothing in the existing vocab as we've built it that covers this? Is question one. And question two is this something that exists in the paper world that we're theoretically reinventing with this vocabulary? Or not so much reinventing as standardizing. We're building an OED, in a sense, of all the traceability forms that are being used. And so we need the vocabulary to include all of
the paper.
This doesn't exist as a fill in this blank label, then we're already going outside our remit.
Ted, there's actually a really common paper example you see, which is a letter that says, issuer, I so-and-so, right, as the issuer, about this subject, right, this person, say that they have an import permit for X with such and such number, or a organic cert for such and such number. It's literally that. So it's precisely the use case for verifiable credentials. It's just the barest minimum trimmed down version of that, right?
Then that's what they should use, is a barest version, trimmed down, verifiable credential. Or they should attach maybe some binary exhibit to this. But that's where we're going here, is we're talking bare bones minimum, and they're not willing to educate themselves about the bare bones minimum that they're using. If you give somebody a hammer and they're not going to take the time to realize they should not use it on their head, that's not our problem.
Ben, did you queue also? I think let's have.
Yeah, Ben, I queued. I think, we might kind of want to move on soon after this. Basically, just the summary is, this sounds like a key value. This just seems like mapping a key value JSON pair to an array list and verifiable credentials for people who don't understand the JSON-LD. I think that the purpose of this project is that we're defining a vocabulary in which we have structured data that can be grouped and have an RDF representation. So this doesn't feel like a stopgap as much as if the claims and, in this context aren't going to be mapped to anything, it sounds like you could almost just use at vocab and just have, terms that are floating or something like that. It seems like at vocab could be abused to get around this. Ori, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible to do. I mean, it's possible to do this and have term definitions that are somewhat useful. It's possible to do it with term definitions that are useless. And it's possible to do it while saying, this is arbitrary JSON, I'm signing over it, and I have no idea what it is. You can do all of those things. Which of those things are we trying to do? I suspect, based on the pull request, we're trying to sign over terms that are meant to be interpreted in a generic way. And I think that's very much achievable. But my concern is that it's pulling the vocabulary in a direction that maybe isn't fully thought through. And then the question is like, well, how does this approach integrate with all of the work we've done up until now? Because I think you could easily start like patching lists and just undo all of the vocabulary and go back to like signing simple key value pairs in an at vocab context with arbitrary JSON inside of it. And I could see us sort of like going all the way back that direction. I'm not in favor of doing that. I think we're here to create semantic clarity, and that means some extra effort has to be applied. And then you need a way of signaling, if you can't meet that semantic clarity bar as an issuer, and yet you still want to issue credentials, you should have a way of signaling that. And we actually have that today. It's what you get when you just sign arbitrary JSON with an at vocab and you don't define any of your terms properly.
Mike, you're on the queue. I said you also, I think it's because I asked you incorrectly before. So I think it's Mike.
I kicked myself out of queue.
Oh, okay.
First, in case he was, oh, yeah.
Right. let's wrap this. We're spending a lot of time.
Yeah. I'm going to make a fundamental point here that I think is important,
which is we will never go map every piece of
object related to all vocabularies, because otherwise we're going to do exactly the same cluster that exists for all of the mess of vocabs that are already out there. So one of the things that I think we need to be cognizant of is, do we or do we not at a fundamental level want to provide some way to represent a relationship between, in our case, a traceable presentation with some third-party system in a consistent, programmatic, and defined way. So this is why I said this is a terminology problem, right? Bike shedding, whatever. We can kill this and we can reopen up an identical thing or a very similar thing. But basically, do we want to provide, in the classic example in supply chain is SAP. Do we want to be able to reference and say this issuer who runs this closed up SAP system, makes the following claim about a subject, right? You know, so we're using issuer and subject same way, that they have some, you know, pick arbitrary XYZ table and a foreign key, for instance, right? And yes, Ted, we have defined traceable presentation. It's in the vocab. It's a way of attaching a correlation ID to credentials that are presented together at the same time. Correct, Ori, this is not a traceable presentation. It's an endorsement use case. That you're exactly right, just following the chat. So how do we want to represent that? Because that is a thing we need to provide an answer to, assuming that we're not going to get immediate adoption or, you know, et cetera, of all things and have all database schemas, et cetera, described, but want to, in a semantic way, be able to represent that kind of foreign key relationship. And this, I don't think,
like, this is an implementation guide. This is a onboarding to the modern new way of doing things. This is get away from your paper and get into the wire. But I still don't have a solid use case that is not satisfiable given the things that we already have. I need to understand how the things that we already have are not usable for this thing. I think the correlation ID is right there, right? And that correlation ID could be attached to a binary attachment. It could be attached to arbitrary text. It could be attached to anything. And that should deliver what is being asked for right now, which is semantically empty.
Mike, can I take a stab at understanding your use case, since we're clearly stuck on this pull request?
Yeah.
So I'm a first party issuer of an organic certificate for my farm. So I'm a farmer and I'm signing a certificate that says this field here is organic. So start me with the issuer, first issuer making a claim.
The first issuer in this case would be a third party regulatory body that comes in and performs something and assigns an ID of some kind, right? So in this case, in the use case we're talking about, the actual organic certifier comes in and says, I've got this farm and they're organically certified. But
okay, so let me back up. Let's start with the subject. What is the subject?
In that case, that would be the farm.
So the farm as an organization, the entire thing.
Okay. Yeah, or some ID, right? Right.
And the first issuer making a claim about that organization is what? What is the issuer?
The first issuer making the claim about that, the issuer would be the organic certifying body.
Okay. So there's a legal entity that certifies farms.
Yep.
They are the issuer. They're claiming that a specific farm is organic.
Yeah, that's an example. And organic is not a good one because, and the reason I'm saying organic is not a good one is we can define some basic credentials around this.
Yeah.
Right. But there are, this is really like, but it's that kind of a thing where
I want to understand how far beyond the issuer makes claims about subject use case we have to go. So
because what they need to then say is not just issuer organics, it's not just organic cert as the, you know, certifying body as the issuer saying that this subject has the existence of an organic thing, right? They're, what they're actually doing is they're specifying that here's an ID for a type that I need you to go look up in my third party system.
Okay. So hold
organic
on.
Cert ID, whatever. And
you handed me the controller rights of this meeting, so I'm gonna enforce that power that you gave me and lock this down now. This conversation belongs on an issue, so let's. Good. I really want to move on. We have many more PRs to cover, and let's move on. So next one on the line is 506, which is from
me. Okay. Yeah. I will just quickly, give a short introduction to this pull request. This is making a few lines change in regenerate.js. I realized that after, the folder, organization that we did, where now that all the credentials are in one folder, I can make the assumption that, every single file in that folder is expected to have a proof. And if it doesn't have a proof, I can generate it. Or if the proof fails, I can regenerate it. And that's what this small line reorganization is doing.
Great. Any objections to merging an improvement to an otherwise great tool? Excellent. I will merge. Ben, I have a suggestion for one more improvement. I think the tool should also run JSON nicification on the non-certificates. But we can, maybe that's another tool.
Okay. Either ping me or
pull. Yeah, I'll make an issue. Great. Next one is 508. This is from me. And I've been looking a lot at JSON schema. I have, these are errors, JSON schema errors that have popped up when you had other things breaking the test. But otherwise, they're hidden. So I've kind of just worked my way around them up until now, and I thought it's time to dive in and start fixing some of all that crap. So this is fixing a lot of JSON schema errors. So hopefully that really, really long error message that you might have sometimes seen, this will take it down. I don't think I've gotten to the end of it, but this and the next couple of PRs should be a big improvement on that front. I believe I've fixed a few suggestions. Maybe that wasn't this one. But yeah, anyway, these are the steel ones. So any objections to merging 508? Great. I will go ahead. The next one, unfortunately, is also mine. It's the same thing on e-commerce, and it's this one. Unfortunately, I thought I was doing the right thing, changing orgs to entity, but of course that was the wrong way. We want to go the other way. So yeah, I'll definitely fix that up. I do agree on, let me just thumb up that. I would ask if you would give me permission to merge once I've changed the entity pack back to organization. Would that be okay with everyone? I'll just do that offline. I'll make a comment. Back to org. There we go. Next is 5.10, which is more of the same JSON schema stuff. Pre-approvals, and I did fix some of those same comments. I don't know why I overlooked the other one.
Also, I think we should probably add result.js to the gitignore file so that doesn't get committed. So I'll.
Have I committed that?
I think so. It probably looks like you committed in the previous one, and it's probably gonna thrash for every pull request. So we can fix that out of the call and just say merge once compile is fixed.
I see. Sorry about that. I overlooked it. But yeah, it should be on the git ignore for sure. Everyone okay with me merging post collision resolution? Making a comment for good measures. All right, next one. I think that's the last of these. JSON schema stuff. This is on the various software schemas. So business card, traceable presentation, those ones. Three approvals, no comments, no collisions. Objection to merging 5.11? None? I'll go ahead. What do we have left? This is Russell fixing some undefined terms. We've seen in about 5.13, Russell.
I think we might have 5.12.
Oh, did I skip one?
They're both. Oh,
yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, let's do 5.12 first. Do it
correctly. Yeah, sure. This is pretty straightforward. The EDD, one of the suggestions with EDD, a PR that was merged last week was to change SHP to shape, which makes a lot of sense, keep things consistent. So that's all this does.
Thank you. We've asked for that. So we got getting some approvals in now. Any objections to merging 5.12? Go ahead. So now, 5.13, let me just catch you up here. 5.13.
Yeah, this addresses all undefined terms in the NYSMA files that also were merged last week. So this doesn't affect anything outside of the NYSMA files.
Great. You're just making up those terms? Yeah, but that's fine. That's absolutely
most of there was a few issues where I just made blatant mistakes, like with property names, or maybe there was one case where there was a missing property. There were also, I think, some cases where types needed to be defined better. But yeah, it was just kind of a cleanup thing.
I know that feeling very well. Any objections to merging 5.13? Excellent. Merging. So we have three left, two pending some fixing up and one pending some more discussion. So we're moving on now to trace interrupt. And pull requests coming on this link. First one is from Chris this time, 5.19. Would anyone want to introduce it from Chris's company? Does anyone know what Chris has done here? I looked at it. It looked good.
I'm pulling it up, the error details. Yeah, because I looked at this. The error details were reasonably constrained prior, and so there were some problems in there, so that's what he fixed. So he gave it the ability to return arrays, et cetera, from error details.
Excellent. Any objections to merging 3.19 in trace interrupt? Good. I'll go ahead. So 3.20 here. Also, Chris. And this is how to populate the request body. It looks reasonable to me. I don't know if it needs a whole lot of discussion. It's he's fixing his own stuff. Any objections to merging 320? Merging. And 321 here. One more from Chris. Adding a negative scope test on credentials verify. This relates to some of the issues we've been closing recently on security. We do have a couple of approvals. Any? Yeah, it should have the verify credentials scope. Any objections to merging 321? I will merge. Dum, 322. Can anyone introduce 322? Negative. These are negative authentication tests for some of the Again, it relates to some of the discussions we've been having about which scopes are required for which endpoints. And it seems like he's just working in so we can that stuff so we can close those issues. So I'm very happy about it. Any objections to merging 322? Again, silence is positive, so I'll merge. Final one. Who's this from? K. Gobin 2000.
Yeah, that's from me.
Oh, right. Yes, of course. Would you like to introduce the pull request?
Yeah, so the idea of this was just to tackle the issue of hosted Postman collections. I was reading the forum and I saw that the tasks were to first, we discussed it in the chat where we were talking about the hosted Postman collections and you said that we were moving away from that. So I just added how to import the Postman collections in the README. Yeah.
That's really cool. There seem to be some, I'll be honest, I'm just looking at the raw MD, but there are some header hash signs on line 5. Is that intentional?
It is to add the line.
Oh.
Separated. Okay.
All right. Let's see what we have. I love that you've added that you're contributing. Thank you so much. We have 3 approvals. So any objections to merging 323? Merging. Congratulations. First contribution there. We're very happy to have you on board. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I have one question regarding issue 100, which is the hosted Postman collections.
Sure. Yeah, we can do that now.
Okay. Yeah. So you said that we need to add a list of collections to the respec. Can you clarify what is the respec?
Oh, yeah. So what we would like is, this is where, you know, everything we do kind of ends up on that link I just shared. So in there, have a section that lists, no, that's not true. This should be an interrupt. That's not true what I'm telling you. Can you link the issue, please? Issue 100.
Yeah.
Make sure I'm right here. Found it. Of course, on interrupt, not on vocab. Sorry about that. Let me give you that link. So here, somewhere, you know, in some good spot in here, would be nice to have the collections that are running structured with a headline and a list of with links to say, saying these are the ones that run and this is where they're placed. So if you want to take them out and run them yourself, it's just a nice accessible way to do that. Essentially, what you saw we had tried out on Postman Hub, whatever it's called, but just in a better place. So if you want to kind of dig in, it would be adding a section like that on this page. That's okay. What I mean. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Cool. Thanks for asking. We're going to switch back to Trace Vocab and go through issues. In the order of least recently updated. And the first one there is 241. I had an Airway via certificate and schema examples don't match up. And, oh, this is way old. Yeah, okay. This is when we did that exercise over the holiday period this winter, not all the examples, came over, but I mean, we literally just merged I updated this example. There's been an example for a long time. Ori, are you okay that we close this? It's way outdated.
Yep.
Well, done. Close the comment. Next one. 78. Ah, yeah, HGS codes. Ugh. We had that whole debate, and I spoke to the team, USITC, and had a pretty positive conversation with them. They're implementing a new system. I should probably reach out to them again. They were, fall of 2022. I guess we're not quite in fall time yet. It's small.
Should we put a tag on this if it's externally blocked or something?
That's a good one. Yeah. What do we have? What's a good? Externally blocked.
I can make the label.
Ah, it's here. It's done. No, it's not. Okay, please, if you would. I thought I made it, but it didn't work. Okay, next, 327. We really digging deep here. How can I make citations? I forget what it is I want to do there. I don't even understand my own question. Ted, you seem to have answered it. Going to close this. I forget what it is I wanted to do with this, so I'm just going to close 327. It's way outdated. So we have 344. Fix undefined term expansion. Ori, can you explain what 344 means? That's something we still want to do. We have been tackling a lot of undefined terms since March. Is that what this is, or is it something else?
That's what this is. I guess it's just a comment also about the way that we're labeling our undefined terms, because as you read them, they kind of come up with these camel case fragment-based URIs. And there's a number of sort of unfortunate side effects that come from that. Like, one, it makes the term definition very unreadable. And maybe that was your goal, but that's sort of like throwing, you're going to throw an exception, you might as well throw a nice exception, right? In the case of undefined terms, it's not a thrown exception, really, if we're doing this at vocab mapping. So I think we want to make it a little bit more readable, a little bit friendlier to the folks that are going to produce tons of these. I mean, your first experience in JSON LD as a JSON developer is you're going to manufacture credentials with undefined terms. That's what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And so we should be thinking about the first visualizations of these kinds of credentials and making them gentle, but direct. And so I think that changing the way we're handling at vocab, there's options that we could do like there that might be a little bit friendlier. I think we should think about them. I will leave some comments on the issue. I think it's not done until we're done with undefined terms, which we will never be done with.
No, but is changing to bash, whatever that's called, that notation, is that, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Does that do it, or is it something?
No, it's other stuff too. I'll leave a comment on the issue.
Okay, cool. Great, but really good point. It's quite annoying to look at.
Should mark this as ready for PR?
Good point.
I don't think it's ready for PR. I think it needs discussion.
Okay. Yeah, the title is a bit odd. English is not.
Or is defining new terms.
Yeah, English is not my first language. I'm not 100% sure it's not a word, but it.
Well, no, that way you can tell it was written by a true programmer.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense. It's an example expansion. Yeah.
All right. I don't think we want to do the next one. It's a big philosophical one that I kind of launched. Let's start with this next time. That's much better. So let's not leave any comments on this. So it is the oldest one. I'd rather give you back 3 minutes because you've been well behaved, at least in the second half of this meeting. So let's wrap it up, and we'll continue with 324 in 14 days.
What Miss is saying is that everyone except for obstinate me is well behaved.
I would just say I really appreciated having that conversation earlier, Mike, because this is what we're here to work on. Like we're doing a modeling issue, and I think it's excellent, and we should just refine it a bit more before we have such an open discussion on an issue. But I think I like being able to also have these discussions and not just mindlessly processing issues with no commentary.
Yeah, I would have been more than happy to spend the entire hour if we didn't have pull requests to get through. That was very tempting.
That I think is correct. Like,
it was totally my bad because I literally called Russell from some weird place and was like, "Hey, can you jot some code down?" And what I should have said was, "Jot this example down in an issue," is what I should have done. Instead, I said, "Hey, just fire open a PR and see what people say." And that obviously was the wrong strategy.
Cool.
Great. Thank you for pointing that out, Ori. That's really important. Let's do it. Let's wrap this. I'll speak to you next week. Adios, folks.
Have a great day.
Yeah.